This is Q's in a Pod. We are going to figure out if Adnan Syed did kill Haim. No, wait, wrong podcast.
Right. No, that's...
That was Serial, which was a really good podcast.
Yeah.
Unlike this one.
Actually, I just listened to the competitive erotic fan fiction that was based on Serial, like, this morning. It was pretty good.
I will be needing to listen to that.
Yes. Yeah. I'd say we link it in the notes, but that's probably not going to happen.
We can have show notes.
Well, I mean, yes, but whether or not we're too lazy to do it is...
We'll probably remember. Amber, our editor, and my wife, will be letting me know what sort of things we should link, and then I will find them. She doesn't have to find them herself. She just has to be like, hey, people might want to know about this. Jeff the Talking Mongoose. They want to know about that. So, I'm Tom Quackenbush, fantasy author. I will try to say less often now. Usually, which is to say the one other time I recorded myself, I had notes in front of me. But now you just want me to freestyle.
I think listeners of podcasts and the like have kind of figured out that they just have to put up with ums and ahs and pauses, because that's what happens in actual conversation.
This is true.
Yes.
We could also go like the NPR route, and we could all just talk really quietly and have a lot of mouth sounds.
Yes.
Listeners, it's important to know that Amber, she has an issue with ASMR. It pains her. We'll link it in the show notes.
They kids know what that is today.
Yeah, get the brain feels.
The subreddits. Although apparently, like, it's starting to just straight up become porn. There was a post on Reddit the other day that was like a screenshot of somebody requesting an AMSR trigger, and like it was a role play a nurse tending to an MMA fighter who just won his first bat or his first bout in SoCal, and she's
subtle.
Yes. And like the response from the person was literally just like, that's wildly specific. I would like to see your porn history.
So I've introduced myself, and I've mentioned Amber a few times. Jesus. But you have not. Amber, tell us about yourself. Who are you? What do you do?
Hi, I'm an artist and farmer. That's what I do.
And how's that working out for you?
Okay. My plants are leggy. It happens.
Wait. How are they leggy? Yeah.
It's what happens when plants don't get enough light, so they get tall to try and reach the light, but they're weak, so they end up breaking and being sad.
So they, like, their gams are weak? Is that
Yeah,
their stems.
It's important to know that Amber has this awful red and blue light that is on constantly over, like, I think her plants believe they're going to be abducted by aliens.
Which is appropriate.
Yeah,
you can taste.
Two more of them downstairs.
Yeah,
the abduction fear.
There are more lights.
There are two more of those lights.
There's downstairs. A whole room in my apartment that I don't know about, that I don't go in because it is the Amber room,
which isn't quite as sexy as you'd think.
No, the floor is literally covered in cardboard because she assumes she's going to destroy the carpet.
Yep,
but that's what happens when you marry a radical farmer.
She wasn't a radical farmer when I met her. She was an introvert.
I don't know if I'm a radical farmer. I'm a regular farmer.
She also believes she's an anarchist.
Is that
They
true?
Don't see you shrug. You have to articulate yourself.
Have you now, or were you, are you, have you ever
I'm an
been
Afro-mutualist.
Communist?
It's so adorable. You're a what?
I'm an anarchist mutualist.
And what does that mean?
It's different type of anti-cap.
I see.
Anti-cap, is that the new hipster?
Anti-capitalism.
That means she's poor.
Be proud of it if you're gonna.
It means she's poor.
Mutualism is awesome.
It means that she lives off me.
No.
Not because of my books. Don't think I'm that cool. I work a day job.
That's true.
Tending to gang members, mostly. It's important to note, if you hear the chirp in the background, that's because we made dinner and then Amber was making tea. And so we set off the fire alarm four times?
At least
four times. So we have yet to actually decide what the point of this podcast is. Now that I'm just talking to the mic on my own, I'm just going to pretend that you're a small furry animal that I have to...
Meow.
No, the mic is a mugwai that I have to teach things. So, Mogwai Mike, how's it going? We won't get you wet, and we won't feed you after midnight, even though that rule is kind of nebulous. If I had my druthers, this show would mostly be about me talking about weird things, like Jeff the Talking Mongoose. We'll have to do a show on that. I think
Jeff or Jeff?
It's supposed to be Jeff, but it's spelled G-E-F. So it's Jeff the same way that GIF is supposed to be GIF.
Which is clearly not real. I think everybody's has concluded that that's not real. Right. Except for the one guy who supposedly created it. And who cares about him. But yeah, I guess this initial entry is primarily about what this is about.
But
it's very meta.
We have not decided what this is about.
Kids love meta.
Yeah. I do listen to a lot of podcasts, so I could just fall back on that.
I listen to zero podcasts.
The podcast could be our reviews of podcasts.
No, Amber already suggested that. We're not doing meta content.
That we should review podcasts about reviewing podcasts.
Then we disappear up our own asses so deeply.
Well, alright.
Alright.
So who are you?
You're failing pretty hard at this. In case you wondered, I wouldn't listen to us.
This is good podcasting.
I think in the future we should have, we should pick three topics that we should talk about. And we'll research them for the week prior. And then Daniel will come over for dinner. And then we will talk about them. That is my proposition. Three topics. Our fans will suggest which three topics it should be. Otherwise, all of them will be about Leatherman and Jeff the Talking Mongoose.
Right.
Every week.
And I'll just ramble about plants.
That could be one of the topics. You could suggest that we should know something about... Give me a plant thing.
Mandrakes.
Mandrakes. I hear they scream when you pull them out of the ground. True or false, Amber?
I'm going to say false, but I have no idea.
What?
So it could be true.
Could be.
Myth plausible.
Stop looking at me.
She's oddly insecure about being looked at.
Which is amusing because nobody else can see her.
Actually, I think when she edits this, she's just going to turn into gay porn.
Well,
she'll gain that editing skill.
just taking random bits of our voice samples and making it seem like.
Wow, Daniel, that tea is really hot.
You bet. My large, thick mug is pulsating.
I note that it's black.
It happens to be.
Do you think it's hotter because it's black?
Well, it's certainly larger. You know what they say.
Did you know in Go the white piece and the black piece are different sizes to compensate for the optical illusion that one of them would be bigger than the other one?
I didn't, but it makes sense.
Wow.
We should play a tournament game of Go for the podcast because it's.
That would be fascinating. I'd love to listen to that.
It's like they're,
I don't know how to play
Go.
How about we just play Othello? It's pretty much the same thing.
Aren't they the same thing?
No. Not quite. Othello is
stupid version.
Oh.
Hey, it's not. It's different enough that it's its own thing. But it's like Go on training wheels.
Okay.
It's much much smaller. Also, you can just immediately win by taking the corners.
So Daniel, who are you?
He's Daniel.
That's a good question.
Why should I care about you? Tell me your story.
On the surface of it all, I'm just a poor black man trying to get by.
I was actually going to say that. He's only a quarter black, guys.
Yeah, no, it's I always have difficulty with this one because it's on the machine level, I'm a banker. I yell at lawyers half the day and match numbers for the rest of it, and then go home to my cat and cry myself to sleep every night.
Okay, I think I've discovered the problem. The problem is the same one we have when we're working at conventions or things, where we can't sell our own stuff, but we can totally sell the other person's stuff. So when Amber comes back over here, I think that I'm going to talk about one of you, then you're going to talk about the other one, someone's going to talk about me.
I can sell my own stuff just fine.
She lies. Okay, then I'm going to talk...
I have a whole member for my CSA.
Okay. I'm going to talk about Amber. Amber's going to talk about Daniel. Daniel's going to talk about me. We're all comfortable with that. You're going to talk about Daniel. You gotta talk about someone. Do you want to talk about me?
You have to care about something.
Yeah.
I already took the apathetic spot, so.
Okay. You know how in, like, in movies when there's the bad guy team? Actually, I think of the good guy team, too. And it's always, you know, the brains, the brawn, and the boobs.
Yeah.
So we all have to pick our roles right now and stick to them.
I kind of want to be the tits.
Yeah, I think Daniel should be the tits. Amber, brawn. Oh, I have to be brains. That didn't work out for me.
Yeah, well, also, like...
I have the mic, though. I think that makes me the brains.
Amber's tiny, so...
Amber's tiny, so she's like the brawn you don't expect.
Yeah.
Plus, she keeps telling us she's a black belt.
Yeah, black belt.
Good for you. All right, so I'm gonna introduce Amber.
Yeah.
Amber Hawk. H-A-Q-U. It used to be Hawkinson, but then she married me, and my last name's Quackenbush, and so she squished them together into something that apparently is Pakistani?
It depends.
Right now, she has bleached blonde hair with dark roots because she thought she's going to dye her hair teal. She's still
going
to dye her hair purple. Okay. She's not. But right now, she's adorable.
I'll do it
okay,
right now.
I'm introducing you. You're being very rude. She... is an artist who has shifted to being a farmer. She has the Wheel of the Year CSA. 8 times a year, she will give you cucumbers and magic. And art. And if you're lucky, something that her author husband wrote.
But
mostly
yeah,
so
you
I can
get on that. I forgot about
you
that.
Tell me what to write and I'll write. Anyway, she's about 5'1". She's pretty much traded on the fact that she's adorable since she was born. Accurate?
No.
Accurate. What else do I need to tell about her?
You know, her. What about her dreams and her thoughts?
Her dreams, or she would like people to enlist in her CSA to justify the fact that she wants to be a migrant farmer without migrating.
That is
called
that
a
is
homesteader,
true.
Tom.
She wants to be a homesteader.
I want goats.
She also has informed me she has severely restricted the things I can buy at the grocery store because they might funnel money to Monsanto. She's not sure, but just to be safe, I can't really have delicious things in this house. Except the ones that she makes with her bread machine. Accurate?
It's your bread machine.
It's my bread machine that she uses. All right. Do you feel like I have summed you up?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What else can I say about her?
She makes monsters.
Pagany circle.
We met at a pagany circle. She's a pagany sort of person. But that probably won't be a big part of this podcast. I don't know. It might be. Who knows? We could prove or disprove individual gods. That could be the point of this podcast. We don't know. I'm thinking...
How would you go about that?
Science? Pseudoscience? Amber, introduce Daniel.
This is Daniel. I am pointing him out to you, although you can't see him.
I'm over here, roughly.
He's black hair, silver teeth. He drinks a lot of my tea.
He does actually have silver teeth.
That is a true fact.
It's actually convenient that he drinks a fair amount of my tea because I don't drink caffeinated tea anymore. But I still love tea, so I have a ton of caffeinated tea.
Is that really summing Daniel up, though? You're talking about tea preferences.
Tea preferences! We've gone to Harney and Sons together.
That's true.
We have mutual tea preferences. Tea is delicious.
Right.
Okay.
Food is the foundation.
Okay. He also does a lot of food stuff.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Oh, that's right. I do.
Which apparently he forgets about because he's really great at promoting random cafes and restaurants in Kingston area.
Yeah.
Mostly
yeah.
Because he eats there all the time, so he's there anyways.
Yeah, I have a severe bout of food alcoholism, so that results in a lot of, you know, artsy pictures of what I'm eating. And then posting those things to Facebook, and then sometimes the place is being like, oh, hey, why don't you do this for us on purpose, rather than randomly.
So someone,
that.
If you're looking for a food promoter in the Kingston area, look that guy up.
You pretty much can just pay him in delicious food.
It's true. It's true.
He is also an artist who does laser-sketched mandala-y things.
That are probably too expensive for anyone to buy, because, you know.
I sold an artwork to Australia for far too much.
True.
And, well, the shipping was far too much, not the artwork. But he also does little things on his little phone of things that are creepy and sometimes bunny related.
We'll link that in the show notes.
Yes. No, I get super sad and then I draw monsters.
That's it. That is the introduction. There that's Daniel. Yeah. He gets super sad and draws little monsters.
And he also works for a bank that makes him work too late.
Well, yeah, sort of.
Traditional bank hours, really.
It's true, but not you know, it's a small bank. It's not big enough to be pure evil.
But it's, mostly evil.
It's just, you know, tiny evil. Mm-hmm. So there. Also, I have a gigantic, you know, penis. It's
supposedly this is true. I don't know if the show is going to be about that. Maybe like the 1 millionth subscriber will arrange something. Just whether they want it or not.
Can right. you subscribe to our podcast?
We'll find a way. Eventually. If someone has like one of you has an iTunes account, right?
Yeah.
We can make it happen.
Yes.
I don't know. We'll look into this. I'm sort of good at finding ways to get myself out there. That's not my point.
Yeah. But we'll get to Tom Q, the sort of hub of this whole shenanigans event. He's a local author based in Red Hook, New York at the moment. He has several published works through Double Dragon Publishing. His work is best described as have you ever read anything by Neil Gaiman? It's kind of like that, but different. Set in the Hudson Valley. A lot of weird shit in this area, and he knows about most of it and can tell you at great length. He's also aggressively friendly, as several acquaintances of mine have described, but also harmless. So don't be too scared if he gushes at you. It's
yeah,
fine.
Except he'll threaten to push you down the stairs. And well, then he'll push you down one stair.
Right, you probably deserved it, though. I mean,
to be fair, you almost definitely did.
I did not deserve it.
Did I push you down the top stairs? No, I pushed you down the bottom stair to fulfill the prophecy.
You still have not pushed me down the stairs, though.
Well, he doesn't need to.
As a collective, it is like the staircase. It's the stairs. What do we call that? The stairs. Those are the stairs.
You're super clumsy. So
you are super clumsy. They will never believe. Amber, have you or have you not bruised your tailbone falling down the stairs?
I might have broken it.
She might have broken her tailbone falling down the stairs.
How long before you get arrested for something that she did to herself by accident?
No, I think people would believe me that she's just clumsy.
Maybe.
Won't they, Amber?
Help me.
No, don't. It's fine. She just...
Amber, edit that part out.
And you will.
I'll edit you out.
This will be a really weird podcast. Suddenly there will be just blank spots when Daniel speaks.
Actually, that's probably true. You probably can't hear me anyways.
No, I think it'll be okay.
I don't know.
I could check the levels. Let's see.
Fine. This is kind of a protocast anyways. So
yes, protocast.
Maybe it won't get released until 10 years later.
Yes, this is a practice. This is teaching Amber how to get good at editing.
She's terrible at getting good.
Yeah, it's like... Good is so, the light right. from good will never reach Amber. It's not even like millions of years. It will the light will just be like no, not even
right,
worth
right.
it.
The galactic expansion is too great.
Yeah,
that
she's actually quite good. That's the joke.
But you know not really. I mean, no. She still has an unlocked Samson on Binding of Isaac.
Right, and she's been playing forever.
Seriously, right?
You just gotta not get hurt for two levels, Amber.
I'm too busy doing more important things.
Like raising cats in the kitten forest.
Yes, it's a catnip forest.
Yes, actually, perhaps you should come tell everybody what it is you're doing. Describe this thing, because I still don't understand it.
We'll link it in the show notes. I think I have a catchphrase.
Okay. It is a game that Tom had the misfortune of playing in front of me.
Oh, so you're patient zero. I thought for sure.
I blame
that would be
Tumblr.
Her fault.
Tumblr said, "Here's a thing." I'm like, "Let me look at this thing." And Amber saw it over my shoulder, and she knew it's exactly the sort of thing that would addict her. There are no graphics. There's nothing interesting about it. It's just numbers that slowly tick upward or downward.
To be fair, yeah. I mean, it had slate graphics. There's this minor game I really like like to my Palm Pilot that I played constantly, that was very similar. Except your miners die fairly often.
But even Dwarf Fortress has graphics. I still...
Well, this one, to be fair, how you've seen it is more graphics than it is when you first start playing it. Because at first, it's
You have a spreadsheet at this point.
Well, I mean, at first, it's just like a gray spreadsheet. Mine right now is green with grass.
Oh, so you had to unlock
I went to the options and changed it. Tom lied to me, saying he leveled up.
I told her I leveled up to a new background. And she believed me.
That's pretty good. That's pretty good.
So I was trying for a while to level up, and when it didn't happen, I checked the settings and realized I could change the background.
Right, no, I actually had to tell her that's what I did.
I still have the impression that I could, like, spend, you know, 2 hours in Excel and put together something that I could probably trick you into paying me for.
I don't pay for my games.
No, I know.
then maybe it would just, like,
I don't know the last game I played. I bought
him Goat Simulator.
Yeah, I guess you bought games. Oh, I bought Five Nights at Freddy. I did buy that one.
So
$5. And that was a struggle. Normally I don't pay for any games.
Well, you're the cancer that's killing...
It's true. I'm all about people buying things. Because it justifies my existence.
Right.
Even though I don't really need the money.
Well, a lot of the games I play, they get money from the ads that I don't really look at.
So, but still, you're just encouraging bad games then.
It's true. That is why we have Candy Crush.
I don't play Candy Crush. It's true.
But you would.
It wants too much money from you. It's obnoxious.
Yeah, I have.
Well, that's because of casuals like you.
I'm not a casual
She's
gamer.
Not a casual.
She's totally casual.
She's
she
casual. Doesn't...
I would play way more if I had more money to spend on video games. But the last...
Do you know how you get more money to spend on things?
Portal 2 would be a AAA title, sort of?
Sort of? Yeah. Well, yes, but it's a Valve AAA title. It's not the same. They don't...
The last time I had one of those that I had to buy, I got my mom to buy it for me and did lawn work.
Well... I guess that's a fair exchange of labor.
What?
Except I never actually finished the lawn work.
That does seem like it.
That makes sense.
But I've done plenty of lawn work since then, so I think we're even.
So what actually are your political stances? Like
that video games are awesome.
That doesn't.
But you would almost get elected. Anti-capitalist.
Yes.
It's probably easy to be anti-capitalist when you yourself don't make money.
Well, actually, that's kind of a default. Yeah. You know, if you don't have money, you are by definition anti-capitalist.
Even when I have money, I'm fairly anti-capitalist.
I know.
Like, well, not necessarily, but in action, if that makes sense.
I get it. It's better. I'm also anti-capitalist, but I spend a lot of money because I have problems with food.
When I have money, I spend it, but I usually spend it on, you know, other people than me.
Mm. Oh, I just thought of a new description of Daniel. He's like Hannibal with less killing.
but
food!
Do we know if there's less killing? Do we
assume.
I was pretty convinced
and he doesn't
up until,
cook.
Like, my late... Well, that's because my kitchen is about the width of your couch.
But... If given, like, enough money, I firmly believe he would be like, I have roasted your leg in clay.
Oh, man. Yeah, like,
I really need
so
to
good.
Know what kind of clay you use for that. Like, is it a porcelain? What is it?
I think it's just clay.
Yeah.
Oh, my God! There is no such thing as just clay.
Right. No, but I'm pretty sure it was just, like, standard modeling clay.
But, like...
Otherwise, like, hold on. We all have access to the internet. We can discover this quickly.
Because clay comes in various forms. Like, there's the regular clay I use for pottery, and then there's, clays that you use on your face
and things. If someone were to roast one of my leg muscles, I think that the face clay would be better.
And, like, if you cook it in it, does it get really dry?
Clay? Because the clay would.
Clay's really bad to inhale.
Here we go. All right. Can you use potter's clay? Yeah, you can use potter's clay that you get at the art store. Like, it's not...
Okay.
It's not
okay. Now we
so
know.
So we could do it. We have potter's clay downstairs.
And leg muscles.
It's a little old, though. True. I don't know if it would work for cooking.
I think it would probably be fine. I mean, like, yeah, I imagine that technique evolved from river clay, which, true. You know. Because they did this.
I guess, because if you bake it, it would get rid of any moldy bits.
Yeah. Ah, looks so good. So good.
But yeah. I still love clay, so if you want to do that, you can try and cook things in clay.
I don't really want to do that. All
right,
it won't translate well to the podcast.
How about cooking? I make meats in clay?
Wait, like make clay meats?
Like make a steak out of, like, yes.
That
take the clay,
uh-huh.
Form it into a steak shape.
Right.
Paint it steak colored, mm-hmm. Texture it.
And then what?
Fire it. Then have a clay steak.
And then what?
Then eat steak off of it.
Wait, so like a plate, a steak plate that's... No, I don't...
Oh my god, I could make a plate and then make a clay steak and combine them. Yeah.
And then it would, like, you're then supposed to eat the steak off of the clay steak?
Yes. Or you could... It's for vegetarians. They could, like, put a stew around it. And make it look like they're eating high-class steak.
Well, but a lot of vegetarians are disgusted by the concept of meat at all, so...
I don't know. I knew one who loved the concept of bacon.
Well, that's because it's bacon, but...
Yeah.
You know.
Bacon's cheating. Bacon is how you seduce vegetarians back to being proper.
Who is it? Rhea Butcher had...
There are other ways
line.
To seduce vegetarians back from being vegetarians.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's right, Amber. I was so rudely interrupted. Rhea Butcher has this great line about, you know, she's talking about how she was a lifelong vegetarian, and every time she's never eaten meat on purpose, but every time she's out somewhere eating something, and she's like, "Oh, this is really good," like it's always meat. It's always meat because, you know, we're descended from carnivores.
True.
And it's kind of hard.
Even deer will eat little birds.
Yeah, deer are pretty ruthless. Most things are,
yeah.
Come to think of it. And I don't know. Like squirrels. Chipmunks. Chipmunks will eat lizards.
Yeah, but most humans, if you confront them with a chicken, aren't going to try and eat it.
Yeah, and that's one of those, like, ways I know that my brain doesn't quite work right, because, like, I've always known where meat came from, and it's never been an issue to me. It's like,
yeah,
I don't know where I would have learned that. I do remember having a slight realization that that most beef was bull, not mm-hmm. you know, female.
Yeah,
because for some reason I just assumed it was female, because when I say cow, I think of, like, a dairy cow, not a bull.
I once was at a party at a voodoo priestess's house, and she was cooking a pig on a spit, but she also had a pet pig, and so I had to take her aside and be like, "Excuse me, but is that an eating pig?" She said, "Oh, no, we're not going to eat that pig. That's just a friendly pig." And then she fed some of the cooked pig to the not-cooked pig,
yeah.
Which you're really apparently not supposed to do, because that's the way you get zombies.
Well,
not zombies, mad cow.
Which is how you get zombies.
Right. Although with mad cow, it's mostly that they're eating brain tissue that has prions, which are a type of protein. That...
Yeah, prions are messed up.
And to be fair, like, well, actually, like, mad cow is fatal, usually.
Mm-hmm.
So if it's a pet pig that she's not going to eat anyways,
Yeah, well, I guess, like, the main issue would be more like you don't... If it doesn't usually eat meat, you probably don't want it to get a taste for meat, because, like, pigs and lizards and things will not be able to distinguish very well between...
Your toes.
Yes, your delicious meats and the ones you're feeding them.
Because,
yes. Like, iguanas, you can technically feed some meat, even though they're primarily, you know, fruitivores or whatever.
Yeah.
But
we should get a lizard.
They become aggressive. Amber...
She always wants a new pet.
Yeah, but like a lizard, I wouldn't necessarily have to ask the landlord about. The bunny idea, I probably should.
No, but I guarantee you the lizard would actually be more work than the bunny.
Oh, yeah.
Hmm.
Also,
probably not
more
compostable.
Expensive.
It's poop, though.
No. Well, no. It's depending on its diet, it's a lot like dealing with bird poop, really.
Well,
so,
birds you can
yeah,
put straight in the garden too, usually.
Depending on what it's eating. But, mm-hmm. like, you know, that you can't really cuddle with them. They do have personalities, but it's a very specific sort of thing.
I mean, I've had, you know, I've interacted with several amphibians and things.
Lizards aren't amphibians. That's racist.
True.
Lizards, amphibians, snakes, all kinds of things.
Snakes are lizards. They're fine. The same family.
Fine. I've interacted with several snakes. One tried to kill me once.
Why did the snake try to kill you?
Were you delicious?
No, it was a constrictor, and I just had it around my neck for a bit too long.
I'm shocked that she's survived to this point.
Yes.
She tells
me
a story.
It was in middle school. Like, it's not like I was on my own with the snake.
But you would have just worn it out if you could.
I love that snake.
I had rough green tree snakes, which are like, they don't get very big, but, you know, maybe 2-3 feet long, maybe like an inch in diameter.
Oh, wow.
But yeah, they were kind of fun to, like, you know, crawl. You could walk around with them inside your shirt, and they would like poke their little head out. And they only get crickets. It's kind of fun. They also die a lot, so.
Oh.
My mom kept replacing them, so I kept wondering why Hiss was different every couple of weeks. No, I actually found out because he disappeared and then was back again, and then I found him again in my toy box. So there were two for a little while.
How often did how quickly do they die?
I mean, you know, it's like most exotic pets. They're probably not in good shape in the pet store, and that's where we were getting them. So, you know. But yeah, like every now and then you'd come in and the crickets would be eating them. Because, yeah.
Circle of life!
Yes. Yes. So what are you watching?
We're watching Carnival.
Nice.
Yes. Well, I'm not totally into it because I know that they just stopped the second season. They're
they
like,
just
stop?
Well,
I'm sorry. Yeah, there's a bunch of dangling strings at the end because they're like, well, no, obviously the ratings are picking up. We're gonna finish the set now.
Yeah,
HBO's like, nope, you're done.
And it does suck too because it was just getting really good.
Yeah,
and then the last episode is amazing. If you haven't seen Carnival, we highly recommend it. It's a portrayal of Dust Era America. Or Dust Bowl America.
With magical realism.
Yes, yes. There is some tedious, like, you know, God and devil stuff, but it's handled pretty well. Or the supernatural elements, rather, are very subtle for the most part.
I'm good with them. It's not flashy. I don't like flashy magic.
No.
We're also watching the UK version of Being Human, which is okay, but very by the numbers. Like, my publisher once tried to sell the rights to my first book, We Shadows, to the Sci-Fi Channel, saying, it's just like Being Human. And then I spent 5 years not watching Being Human. But now I'm watching Being Human. I'm like, I might be slightly offended. But now I have to rise above. Now I know that this is the bar where they think I am. I have to be above that.
Oh, wow. No, I didn't realize it was that old either. Because, like, the version I'm watching feels like it's pretty
yours recent. Started in like 2011.
All right, so
ours started in 2008.
Yeah,
so
but
long ago.
You know, I can kind of see the parallels, but that's kind of in one of those cases of like if you squint at two sort of similar people, they look the same. But because, you know, you do deal with similar items, but, you know,
I have no werewolves yet. Theoretically, they should exist, though. I just haven't dealt with them.
They should, although, like, that is kind of an interesting thing, because, like, werewolves very specifically are normal people that have something else attached to them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, that's kind of an interesting premise.
I like how they do werewolves in Vampire Diaries, just saying.
How
with
do they
them,
do... Okay.
It's genetic. That, so, like, let's say if you're a werewolf, werewolf, you have the potential to become a werewolf. And then as soon as you kill someone as, like, a regular person, then you become a werewolf.
I see.
So it's murder-induced werewolfism.
Huh.
I kind of like the curse aspect a little bit more, only because, like, I think it creates more interesting character dynamics.
True.
Whereas, like, you know, if you're just become aware, like, a lot of the things that they do with modern werewolf stories is, like, there's usually control over the process. Whereas, like, originally you became a werewolf and it was very much a Jekyll and Hyde thing, where, like, you wake up and have no idea what you did, and that's, you know, it's always kind of
probably better
characters.
Mm. Yeah,
I'm okay with like gaining control over time just as a concept, but I do think it's important to have that sort of character growth.
One thing I do like in the episode of Being Human I saw is the guy talks about how when you shift from wolf to human, you tend to vomit because you have a lot of dead animal in you, and your stomach is much smaller as a human, and it does not want to digest squirrel.
I guarantee you that conversation is way better in the more recent version.
I look forward to watching it.
It's pretty good. It's pretty good.
So what else do we want?
Being human. I got over. Of course, I think we all just finished Hannibal seasons 1 and 2.
Yep.
Which is quite good.
Talking about God a lot.
Yeah. Although, like, I do like Hannibal's takes on God because he talks about the concept, but I don't really think that he believes in a God.
No.
Necessarily. It's more just.
What God would allow Hannibal to do this?
Right. The irony of you know. Like in the books, he does talk a lot about his favorite thing being church collapses, and
yeah,
he collects those.
Yes,
which I'm wondering how he collects them. Like, does he have a scrapbook? Is it just a browser file?
I think it is definitely like a scrapbook, and I'm trying to remember if he actually collected pieces of the collapses.
Ah, that'd be cool.
Yeah,
so decadent.
Yeah,
I wonder if he makes clay out of their foundations.
And then cooks leg muscles in them.
Maybe. Like, the second season, there were a few moments where, like, it was kind of hard to imagine. Okay, the guy in the tree. I loved it. It was beautiful.
But
it was impossible to imagine that he would have been able to set it up in the space of a night and not get caught. Because, like, that requires a massive moving truck and then somehow, like, equipment to get the tree out of the truck into the parking lot. I don't know. That was like one of the few spots where it kind of was like, all right.
Yeah, I'm enthralled with whatever sort of artists and whoever's coming up with those murder scenes.
What I like, since it's a Brian Fuller show and he's made very clear that this takes place in the same universe as Wonder Falls and Pushing Daisies.
Mm.
And obviously those characters don't really interact. Like, we see Georgia Madchen, who's supposed to be like Georgia Lass, but not wink wink. You know, because Madchen means girl in German, and girl means lass. And there's also the woman who gets her arm chopped off. Her last name is Lass. So
yes,
I have to assume
Miriam
they're
Lass,
related.
Yeah.
Miriam Lass, yeah. So I have to assume that they're related. She might actually be a character in the books. I haven't read them.
No. Miriam Lass is kind of the, she's the stand-in for Clarice, who I don't think can appear in the series because of
rights issues.
Yeah, because if you notice, it's based on Red Dragon specifically.
Mm-hmm.
So even though they are working with Dino De Laurentiis, who kind of, I believe, has most of the movie rights for Silence of the Lambs and Hannibal and all that. But that is one of the things I like about the worlds. It's still consistent with, you know, the imago of that world. Without being specific, it's like, you know, the Freddy Lowndes change is, I'm fine with it.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't bother me at all. It's done so well. But, and again, like, you know, removing Clarice Starling, but putting in a character that fills the same role, but sort of better. Because, like, now Will kind of takes over a lot of the attention that, you know, Clarice would have been getting.
Yeah. I don't know how I would have felt about a woman in Will's role. Actually, I think the shippers would have liked it less.
Well, they didn't need to because, you know, Hannibal, the book, exists. And
that's true.
And that's kind of how it ends.
That is true.
Yeah.
What?
So at the end of the book, Hannibal, he's sort of captured Clarice.
Mm-hmm.
And it sort of undertakes this prolonged, kind of what he did to Will, where he, like, slowly put it, you know, put him under drugs and hypnosis to kind of try to bring things out of him. He does that to Clarice Starling in the books and kind of turns her into, like, him a little bit. And, like, they essentially have the happily ever after ending. Like, they're together.
Yeah.
And living in South America on a plantation, essentially, where the servants don't go upstairs. Yeah, like that was kind of why Anthony Hopkins refused to do that ending for the movie, which is why the movie ends so badly.
I was actually sort of talking about the whole converting will. I did a talk at Vassar where I talked about basically like privilege and how Hannibal in the show and the Doctor in the Russell T. Davies part of Doctor Who are similar characters in that they are far superior to those people around them, but they want to have like a companion who that they bring along on adventures. Whereas a Doctor is like, wow, you're amazing. You know, you are one of the most wonderful people I've ever met. I've never met someone who's not great. Hannibal's more like, most people suck and I want to eat them because they are like pigs to me and I'm going to make you like me.
You're my pet pig.
You're my pet pig.
Yes.
I'm going to call you Will Graham. Aw, you've bored me. I'm going to feed you to other pigs now.
Although, that is the interesting thing, is I don't think... I don't know. Will Graham's kind of interesting to him because has the potential to be just like Hannibal because he can understand that perspective. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it does seem like Hannibal's kind of aware that he can never, you know, he can't actually make Will exactly like him, but he's just trying to nudge him under his own, you know, process. Like,
right.
they have a lot of conversations about, you know, how...
If by conversations you mean flirting.
Pretty much.
It's pretty hot.
There's so many moments of like, and now kiss. Just
yeah.
Be the best.
Spoilers, but when Hannibal and Alana Bloom get together, my reaction was not like, no, Alana's supposed to be Will's girlfriend. It was definitely, no, that's Will's boyfriend. Get away from him, Alana.
Right.
That's not for you. And then various jokes about, well, I guess Alana Bloom does get eaten.
Although we never see that.
We never see that.
I mean, I'm pretty sure he drugs her most of the time that they're together. So, like, she's sleeping it off.
Maybe only that once. There was only once it was overt because he went and killed someone.
Right. Yeah, and then he came back. It's like, no, I was in bed
but like,
banging Alana Bloom all night.
Yeah. but isn't it easy to imagine that, like, I don't
he
know.
He just does that.
or just that, like, that, you know, the physical... Obviously, sex doesn't mean that much to him.
No.
Yeah.
So
I don't think he cared at all. It was just convenient.
Right. Like how could that compare to eating, you know, his prize foie gras or whatever? Like,
yeah.
Like
he's kind of like a vampire. Vampires are, like, the opposite of sex in a way. Like, I create more by killing rather than sex. I create more by banging. Create more life.
Although if you spend one blood point you can still get an erection and or like, you know, engorge your lady bits. It's in the rule book.
What?
In the latest Anne Rice book, they use like chemicals and hormones to give Lestat an erection so he can bang some woman and make a child who looks just like him.
Wait, but no, but where does the sperm come from? The erection doesn't really matter.
Hormones, Daniel. Anne Rice doesn't know science.
Clearly.
Just Jesus and werewolves and vampires.
Well, you know what? I've never read anything she's done with werewolves, and I'm kind of horrified by the prospect.
Yeah. I think
there are werewolves?
Werewolf books.
What?
I don't think so.
I can't imagine she'd
they
be
probably,
any good at
they
it.
Exist in the world. The Talavasca would deal with them, but I don't think that we've ever encountered a werewolf.
No.
There are ghosts who can turn solid, and
ghosts that can turn solid
elves
and
that
give
want
you a hand job.
That's true. And elves who want you to commit incest over like 5 generations to make them be born. And there are vampires, and there are psychics, and they're probably werewolves, but we don't see them. Oh, and there's the mummy that never gets continued, but he just likes eating and having sex and sunlight. Ramses the Damned.
See, like.
I don't know, guys. I think you're wrong.
Tell me the name of this book.
The Wolf Gift? The Wolves of Midwinter?
That all, like, immediately makes me want to punch something.
Yeah.
No,
these are books by Anne Rice. Are
yeah,
you
those two are,
the,
yeah.
Are you... Do you mean Jesus? You mean Jesus, right?
Yeah.
No.
Although, but yeah, like a title like Wolf Gift, that's clearly her handiwork.
Yeah, that actually
Anne Rice Talks,
is.
Book 3 of Wolf Gift Chronicles.
Well, clearly I've had no interest in this.
I told you.
Read us an excerpt. I want to know.
I can read you the wiki page.
That's not as good.
It's rated 3.6 on Goodreads.
Yeah, but I feel like there's still enough of a population of, like, you know, built-in fans that anything she puts out will get relatively good reviews.
That's true.
No matter how terrible.
Although, I was looking at the reviews of Prince Lestat. People are like, why did this happen? What were you thinking?
Yeah. But I have a hard time imagining how bad that could be, given that, like, my breaking point was Blackwood Farm, and, like, it was awful.
It was so awful. And then there were additional vampire books after that. There's one where Lestat turns one of the witches from the Witch Chronicles into a vampire, and then they fly and they obliterate an island drug-dealing ring of the Taltos using their mind lasers. Wow. It was like comic book fan fiction.
Wow.
No, that's an insult to comic books and fan fiction.
Yeah, seriously. Although I do like, you know, kind of jumping around back to Hannibal, like the last book William Harris did in the Hannibal series felt like really bad fan fiction. Like, it I don't know. It's just weird to see an author take his own character and then seem to forget everything he knew about him and just...
Money will do that. Did you know, on that topic, sort of, kind of, that Who Framed Roger Rabbit was a book first?
I've heard that.
By Gary Wolf.
Meaning to read it.
It's pretty good. It's different from Who Framed Roger Rabbit.
Yeah.
But then, like, after the movie was so popular, Gary Wolf was like, you know I still own these characters, right? So he's like, brought that one back, brought that one back, that one's back too. Here's a whole new book. And now the characters act like they do in the movie rather than in the book. Because he knew that he could do it, and he would make a lot of money. I don't know if he made a lot of money, but I'm sure he made some.
Well, see, like, that's the sort of thing I could be okay with as long as it was still a good story.
I've never read it. But, I did read the, like, I forget what the Who Framed Roger Rabbit book is. It's close, but it's not that.
Yeah, well, isn't it something like Who Killed Roger Rabbit? I thought
maybe
it had a different, slightly different spin.
Yeah.
But
it is pretty entertaining. Like, he has a weirdly consistent world, like it makes sense how things work there more or less, given that they're populated by toons.
But isn't that kind of a thing, like, you know, just talking about world building in general, that you can have as weird of a world as you want as long as it's internally consistent, or as long as its physics makes sense to itself, as long as you don't bend the rules too many times. Cough Anne Rice.
I do know, like, I frequently think about, like, within my own world, I'm like, but what about space? And I'm like, no, we can't include space. My characters can never acknowledge that, like, they're just one itty-bitty planet in a vast universe. Because that ruins the whole, like, we have magic. This is all just a projection of our minds. Lol.
Well, yeah, can't do it. That might be, I mean, because that's
you
essentially...
have space. Aliens, basically.
But it's very clear that the space aliens are just the same thing that elves are. That's what we call them now. Yeah. So if that's the image that gives them power, that's what they're going to be.
Although, now see, but that could be a good way to kind of, you know, if you ever want to brush with the Lovecraftian thing, because, like, that's literally what
his
brand of horror is like that horror at being, you know, faced with this vast uncaring thing that dwarfs, you know, every conception you can even have.
Yeah.
But that's probably, like, when you're ready to quit the series.
Yeah, I'll just write one last book that completely obliterates everything prior. And then Cthulhu comes in and he says, I'm a public domain character and I can do whatever I please. I also don't care about any of you. And then he squishes every protagonist I have. And the rest of the book is just minor characters running away from Cthulhu until they're driven mad.
Nice. Or if you want to be pretentious, you can make it like, you know, Azathoth or one of the...
It's true.
This Cabin in the Woods?
Yes, Cabin in the Woods.
Yeah.
I liked Cabin in the Woods.
It's really good.
Yeah. Especially because it doesn't end happily. Although people still...
that's what I mean. You can have
Cabin
in the Woods version of your book.
The gods come back and kill everything.
Yep. Fuck you, daemons.
We didn't like any of you. That's why we left you here. You should read my books, We Shadows, Dance Macabre, and Artificial Gods. There's a fourth book, but it's not out yet.
Yes, and don't judge them by the cover. Like,
do not judge
not
them by
fault.
The cover.
although the second cover was good.
Yeah.
Like, shockingly good, given, you know, how bad the first one is.
I will not talk smack about the covers.
I know. Still
yeah, the, true. The second and third one are pretty good. The first one, you can tell that the artist hadn't gotten a good feel for the books yet, that he got more with the later books.
Yeah, that's why the covers, like, that one's white and purple, and then they go black. I'm like, yes, black is the right start. It's true. It should be like the Batman the Animated Series. You start with a black piece of paper and you work from there.
That's kind of one of the funny things. Like, the art that I'm doing now is all, like, if I try to put it on a lighter background, it instantaneously looks like shit. Like, none of the interesting effects that I want come through.
You sort of deal with, like, that creepy thing that's in the corner. And if you turn the light on, it's just some really awkward creature.
Right. Or just a weird guy in a plastic suit that's suddenly not scary anymore.
So, Mads Mikkelsen.
Right. Although, I love the dichotomy between Mads Mikkelsen and the character he plays, but I do recognize how that could ruin it for some people.
Well, I'm definitely able to say that the character is a different thing. Have you watched much Supernatural, any Supernatural?
Enough to be frustrated by its lack of consistency.
That is
you can't reasonable. You can't have massive character development and then two episodes later discard it.
Sure you can.
I never said that.
Well, men literally die and come back constantly.
But then they start making jokes about it. Yeah. All right, but my point was, like, Misha Collins is very different than Castiel.
Oh yeah.
And people are like, but why aren't you serious and gravelly? It's like, because that's the character. I'm goofy. Right. I'm Misha Collins. You got confused.
Well, also, like. So this is kind of like the archetype that I've always identified with is generally, like, you know, the Darth Vaders and the shadows. Final Fantasy VI is the best. The sort of dark outsider character that only comes in periodically and is interesting. But every time I've thought about, you know, trying to construct a story based around that character, I realize that I do still kind of want to do something like this, but the problem you run into is that, like, characters like that, the majority of their lives are sitting around doing nothing. So, like, it's very difficult. It'd be almost impossible to, like, have a story be interesting if it focused entirely on that character. Even Hannibal.
Hannibal.
Right.
Because, like, in Silence of the Lambs, like, he's like the god on the mountain watching and occasionally messing with the mortals.
Yeah.
But, you know, he's in his cage. He's not doing anything. He doesn't have to do anything. But then if you focus on him, he has to talk about God and cooking a lot more.
Yeah. And, you know, it is... Yeah, it's only in the contrast with the other characters that he does become more interesting. Because otherwise he's just, you know, daydreaming half the time, which is a much bigger plot point in the books than it is in the movies, because it's not easy to show, you know, somebody walking around in their memory palace, like, you know, making out with the Venus de Milo or whatever. Which, you know,
I'd watch that.
Well, yeah. I mean, yes, but it's hard. It's harder to do, especially if your you know, series doesn't otherwise focus on internal, you know, dialogue.
It does a fair amount with Will's internal dialogue,
which I've liked a lot.
Yeah,
because like the whole thing with him being in the stream is it's amazing. Like I kind of love it, especially because of the contrast between, you know, like Hannibal's memory palace is a major feature in the book Hannibal, and actually, yeah, I don't think they mention it in Red Dragon or Silence of the Lambs, but it is like. When the actual book Hannibal, where you're finally following him around, you know, that is a major part of his function. And it's kind of interesting that they don't even try to show it, because it would be too complex, sort of.
Yeah.
Because it's just like it is a medieval system of memory structure. It's kind of how you would store a ton of data in your brain before you had computers. And it's all, you create these palaces in your mind with different rooms and the layout of the room is attached to different items, and you use mnemonic like sequencing. So, you know, you have a picture of a nun flaying a skeleton or something, and, you know, you've attached different image or different concepts to the nun and the skeleton, so that you come across it in your memory palace and you're like, oh, that's right, I have an appointment on Tuesday, I have to.
So wait, was that nun flating skeleton, was that actually an example?
That's just the first thing.
So your mind went right to nun flating skeleton.
Well, yeah, you know. No, I could tell you exactly how that chain happens.
Could you?
All right. So there's a book, Little Big, I can't remember the name of the author, but it's really good. Actually, you should read it if you haven't.
Okay.
So somebody look it up really quick. But anyways, in that book, it also references memory palaces. They're one of the things that pops up if you dig into, you know, secret societies or
Little Big Book.
Yeah, like it's kind of a foundational thing. Raymond Lull and but he was kind of the big one. Anyways, so Little Big, it's another one of those features, and one of the characters is kind of talking about her garden that kind of functions the same way, and she uses this example of, you know, things that you've set in your mind like this don't always stay the way you expect them to. So she gives an example of, like, you know, a scene depicting a nun that's in kind of, you know, a peaceful repose and some other things, and then coming later on in the book, she comes back to that scene and suddenly, you know, the nun is sort of lascivious looking, and then in a further thing, like, the nun is actually being sort of sexually assaulted, and like that parallels the degradation of that character's state throughout the story. And
see, when I first heard about memory palaces, probably because of the show Sherlock, I'm like, all right, I will try this. And so I just, like, made this apartment my memory palace, but it was only for, like, what I needed to pick up at the grocery store, so that was pretty boring. I start from the bedroom. What is on the bed? Okay, that's the first item I have to get. Going up the stairs, you know, which item, what's happening there? So, like, milk pouring down the stairs. Obviously, I need to go get milk. And, you know, various things around my apartment, because I know my apartment really well. Mm-hmm. Like, I could navigate this in the dark, so obviously I can do it in a mind palace. But I think my brain just decided that this was way too boring and mnemonic, so it stopped doing it.
Well, that seems to be... I, of course, have also spent... Mm-hmm. I mean, I literally... lived in my head for the first, you know, 10 to 15 years of my life, like, not even a joke. But the structure of the memory palace, like, it has such a specific purpose, but it's not one that's, like, it doesn't actually fill a purpose that's better than other options you have. Like, in our day and age, you know, paper isn't expensive, and we have pencils, and you know, it's much easier to just scribble it down on a post-it note. As Ben Franklin liked to say, like, you know, it's don't remember anything, or was that Einstein? One of the two.
I'm sure we can look it up.
Yeah, Abraham Lincoln.
Abraham Lincoln said, "Never believe anything you read on the internet."
Yes, but no, like that idea of, you know, never memorize anything you can look up. I'm pretty sure that was Einstein. But yeah, so, like, you know, trying to get the memory palace to work as it did for people in medieval era, back when there was a lot less total information to know anyways, you have to spend so much time on it that it actually becomes detrimental, unless it's your hobby or unless it's your passion necessarily. So, you know, I can still visit all the old continents and things that I used to live on in my head, but I can't really purpose them the way that, you know, Sherlock or Hannibal might.
It would definitely take a sort of mental rigor that we don't necessarily have. Unfortunately, like, yes, like, I can remember keywords, like, all right, here's what you have to look up, rather than here's what I need to know. Yeah. So, like, I can look things up really fast because that's what my brain is purposed toward. And I, you know, I think that a lot of people are just intellectually lazy, but they're also talking a lot more, so we're aware of it. Like, back in the day, you know, peasant 143, we don't know about. He's nobody. But now peasant 143 has a blog and a podcast where he talks about Hannibal. And so you know about him. You know his intimate thoughts, and they're sent into space.
But, well, also, like, it's human beings are very well optimized for getting used to things. Like, the first 5 minutes that I used an iPod essentially ruined me for any other format for listening to music. Like, not having to, you know, just being able to immediately skip between six different albums and listen to the one song I wanted to from each of them, like, knowing that existed basically made it impossible for me to then be like, oh, well, I'm going to take the CD out of here and then place it into the tray and then listen to the one song that I want. Like, I don't know. I think we're very much like that. Like, our brain immediately latches on to whatever, you know, system seems the most efficient for what we want to do. And then it's... Because, like, I'm sure, you know, if you lock any of us in solitary confinement with, you know, nothing but books on how to build memory palaces, we'd all be masters at it. But, you know, we have other options.
True. Well, we were at a funeral, or a wake, not too long ago, and my friend had her... infant daughter. Like, she was a year old, maybe? Mm-hmm. I don't know. She was tiny. Anyone under 5 is an infant to me. Anyway, but genuinely an infant, like, pre-verbal. But she had an iPad, and she was playing, like, this painting game. And she knew, like, all right, she knew how to open menus. She was just, like, clicking around. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I don't think I could do it as fast as she's doing it.
No. Like, and her grandchildren are going to be able to do it with their brains.
Yeah. Even. But it was just shocking how fast she was.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's the terrifying thing about generational, you know, knowledge transfers. Like, that's always going to happen. And that's also part of why the older generations are always terrified of the young and spent so much effort trying to, you know, send them to go get killed in wars. Because, you know, it's just obvious that our children are always going to be so much better than us as long as we keep, you know, giving them access.
I'm fine with the younger generation being better than me at technology, because then they can find cool things and prolong my... Actually, I'm reading a book about transhumanism right now that's really boring, but it was sent to me by the publisher. It's called Transcendence by Are You Serious?
Okay.
No. Yeah, it's a disinformation company book, and I like the company, but this is just so basic. I'm like, I would just look at the Wikipedia article and learn more about transhumanism than you're giving me right now.
Or look up Eclipse Phase, which is you can actually download the rules for it for free, but it's a role playing game that's based on, you know, transhumanism and transhumanism with a small flavor of Cthulhu, because there's, you know,
existential horror. Why not throw everything in there?
Right. Yeah. The basic premise is, like, the AIs running Earth at one point hit the singularity, they freak out and download the majority of human beings from their bodies and then take off with them, leaving the Earth this ravaged wasteland of, like, you know, horrifying nano swarms. So a very small percentage of humans survive, and most of them are kind of in backup storage. And it deals a lot with the idea of, like, you know, one of the basic tenets of transhumanism is, like, you'll be able to download your personality. So it deals a lot with, like, you know, what happens when you have a fork, and is the fork is essentially you. It has all of your memories and thoughts and feelings, but it's existing in a different point in space-time. So it's you, but it's also distinctly a different person.
Yeah.
A lot of it kind of revolves around, like, all the weird different sorts of things that happen there, and, like, you know, the weird ethical issues. But it's mostly, like, the system's kind of bad, but the setting of it and, like, the concepts behind it and the things that it talks about are very interesting. Mm-hmm. Excuse me.
Yeah, I mean, the book is touching a little on that. It's treating itself like an encyclopedia, but it's really almost, like, gossipy. So it's not working out for me. But again, it was sent to me for free with a nice little letter. This is the benefit to being an author, is people send you books that you don't necessarily want, but they're free, so of course you're going to take it.
If by being an author you mean having a Goodreads account.
Yes.
Hey.
Same thing. People suck up to me. I don't know why they do, but they do.
What are you doing, Amber?
I'm checking the weather.
Amber's being boring. Amber, tell us a story.
That's right.
We're talking about memory palaces and Cthulhu.
I have no input on either of those things.
Well, introduce a topic.
Hey, no. I see what that is.
She's playing her kitten game.
No, I'm not.
That's not, and playing is barely a word you can use for it.
It's true.
Look, I could be home playing XCOM right now. Like,
instead, he's here.
That's right. I have a large landed transport.
I need to know for my plans.
Sure.
So, Amber, why should I give money to your CSA? Why should I not keep that money to myself?
That's right.
Well, you can keep it to yourself if you want, but if you're going to buy any herbs or anything, you should probably give it to me, because I'll do it better than other people.
All right, so that's actually a good point. tell us what your CSA is, because CSAs are actually just described. CSA
stands for Community Supported Agriculture. Is the concept for, usually it's for smaller organic type farms that members from the community or whoever sign up for a share of everything they produce for the year.
So communism.
Well, except that you give them money.
Well, yeah, no, that was that was a joke, because it was, you know, communal labor.
Sometimes you do. Sometimes they have the members work on the farm too.
Right.
Sometimes it's cheaper if you do that. Sometimes you have to do it no matter what. Each CSA has it definitely set up their own way. Like mine's very different than other CSAs because I'm doing it based on the Wheel of the Year. So it's 8 pickups throughout the entire year rather than most that are like 22 pickups, but it's every week for like May through November.
All right. So it's a basic collective or co-op essentially.
Yeah.
Where you're grouping together, you're pooling your resources so that someone can produce a product that's better quality than what you would get.
Yeah, exactly.
All right.
Can I sign up for your CSA even if I love Jesus, you heathen?
That's a good question.
Yes. I don't care.
Does Jesus care?
I don't know.
Actually,
probably wouldn't care.
Jesus, get up here. Yo. What you want, guys? What's up? I'm Jesus.
You're not Jesus, Daniel.
The cult group I grew up in thought I might be for a little while. So.
Really? That might be a conversation for next week.
Yeah, maybe.
Next week on Q's in a Pod, why was Daniel in a cult?
Well, we already know why he was in a cult.
But they don't.
That's true. That's true.
Why was Daniel Jesus? See? Makes you want to tune in, doesn't it?
Dick pics.
Yes.
For everyone.
I hear Daniel's well endowed. So, he introduced the topic earlier.
I did. It's kind of one of those things that I bring up and then pretend I didn't really want to talk about. But, you know, geez, we're already talking. Okay, fine.
He just keeps shoving his penis down our throats.
Tom, don't make me gag.
I won't.
don't worry, baby.
This turned
it's supposed
into...
to be in the 40s all next week.
Good.
Yeah.
Next Wednesday is 50. I'm sure this is the part they care about. Amber, edit the weather out.
Yes.
We have to have a timelessness to our bad podcast.
Yeah.
Anyway, could be over 40.
No. We'll insert, you know, like whatever hit Smash Mouth single is current at the moment.
Is Smash Mouth still current?
They're totally not. I'm making a jab at Shrek, which nobody will remember anymore because it's like 10 years old now or something.
That's probably true.
I don't know.
Hey, there's a musical.
Today, which is good. Today, one of my students said, like, you should be president, Mr. Quackenbush. I'm like, oh my God, I could be president this year. Because I'm going to be 35. I could be president. You don't want to be ruled by me. I'd be really bad at it.
Well, you'd probably be better than me. But
it's true.
You know.
Maybe. But immediately when they told me where the aliens were, I'd tell everybody.
Yeah.
Yeah, and in a future podcast, we should talk about how I hang out with people who think they see aliens and Bigfoots on a fairly regular basis.
Yeah.
Oh, Daniel, I think I told you.
Yes.
That an alien abduction group is opening up.
Oh, yeah, we talked about that.
Yeah.
Opening up in Rhinebeck, and they sent me a message basically saying, like, were you abducted? Because if you weren't, you have to tell us, or it's entrapment.
That's
more or less
works,
more
but,
or less
yeah.
what he said. So I feel like I was not abducted by aliens. I know too much about hypnagogic hallucinations to ever think I was abducted by anything.
But that's just what they want you to think.
That is. That's my cover memory.
Right. I mean, you know, I'm pretty tight with the reptiloids and I can see the signs.
Yeah.
My implant, you know, it throbs periodically.
Yes. I got my hair cut yesterday, and my stylist talked to me about how one of her clients comes in and talks about how she has an implant in her head given to her by the aliens, and that she hears a tone in her head when she's talking about something that the aliens don't want her to say, so she stops. And I'm pretty sure that she has tinnitus and schizophrenia.
Or you know, one that's leading to the other.
Yeah.
That's kind of an interesting thing. So when you grow up religious, you're the basic thing that happens to you that doesn't happen to other people is that you spend the entire time thinking the voice in your head that everybody has that talks to them, because that's just how your thoughts work. is somebody else. So you kind of like develop by default, you know, this version of schizophrenia where like, you know, you don't realize that the voice in your head that you have when you're thinking things is, you think it's Sky Daddy and not just your own brain. And that's it's a very weird thing.
That voice is singing Smash Mouth in my head right now.
Yes. Yeah. Success.
Success. But, yeah. Sky Daddy wants me to be an all-star.
Yeah. Aww. And strangely, the only way I realized that was so when I was like six or so, I had this white plastic ninja sword that was, you know, my favorite thing in the world. But of course, you know, our church group was freaking out because ninjas were popular, so they must be from Satan. And I remember being sat down and being told to, like, you know, pray really hard and listen to what God tells you about your white plastic ninja sword, because he clearly doesn't have anything more important to do. And having the moment of, like, you know, trying to listen, because like I kind of avoided, you know, having that thing. Like, I never thought that the voice in my head was somebody else. I was always aware that it was just me. And then I sort of talked myself into hearing a voice saying no. And then, like, it was sort of one of those, in the moment, I you know, pretended it was an actual thing. Kind of the same way that hypnosis works. Like, mm-hmm. you kind of just go along with whatever the suggestion is, because it seems easier at the time than pretending it's not. And then, you know, later on being like, oh, but I gave up my white ninja sword and now I'm sad, and I kind of know that was bullshit, so that's never going to work again.
Any real god wants you to have a white ninja sword.
clearly. I mean, fuck, I used that, I hit a fly.
That's pretty badass. Bastard.
That's right. Sent it across the room. It's pretty good.
Fly.
And now you know about that.
Now we do. And now the world knows.
Right. Edit that out, Amber.
Okay. So should we wrap it up or what?
How
do we end?
We just kind of end. Oh, we come up with a catchphrase like wubba dub dubs. and yes. Be safe. Be well.
Be well. Do good work. Keep in touch.
Right.
Or it's been a quiet day here in Lake Wobegon. My house out on the prairie. No. No. Taken.
Would you like to see how I got my scars? No, I can't prepare for that.
Yeah, we'll eventually come up with how we actually want to close this out, and then Amber will just put it in on post. So.
Yeah.
Okay. Bye. Have a great day.
That's definitely not going to be the thing.
It's fine. Like, I can put whatever I want in if I'm the one editing it.
It's true. Well, all right, we're done, right? I can stop it?
Yeah.